Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. Yeah. See, Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead. Yeah, see, he liveth, he was dead. And he said, behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys and have the keys of hell and death. Hallelujah. He's alive and was dead, and he's alive forevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. So today we are celebrating a victory. A victory over death, hell, and Satan. And we thank you in the grave. And we celebrate that today. And so he is, you could say, our breakthrough for mankind. And because of that, we celebrate him, we celebrate the victory, and his breakthrough was for us. And that's what we were sharing, this breakthrough. When he was crucified, we were crucified. When he was buried, we were buried. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When he was seated in heavenly places, so were we. We were seated in heavenly places. What does that mean? No, we're not there physically, but in God's system of, in his mind or his eye, we're seated there as a place of what? Authority.
Glory.
So I'm seated there with him. Yes, he's seated there, but the body is in the earth. The head is in heaven. The body of Christ is in the earth. And the head is endeavoring to operate through the body by the Holy Ghost. See, without the Holy Ghost, we'd be bumping around down here. But he sent him, the Holy Ghost, to live in us here in this earth, so that he could think through us and speak through us and operate through us. That's what he did for us. Glory to God. So we all have things to do. We all have people we interact with. We have places to go. We have jobs. We have families. But God is endeavoring for the body to operate in his love, his wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. And so he's endeavoring, just like the what we saw Friday night, he's endeavoring for the love of God and the word of God and the power of God to operate through us to touch people's lives. Saint or sinner. He wants us to be his mouthpieces, his representation, you know, his representatives here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. So he is the mediator of a better covenant. Glory to God. And the word, John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak unto you are what? Spirit and life. Hallelujah. That word life is Zoe life. Same word. What did he say? He said, I have come. John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come. Why did he come? Said that you may have life. That's that same life that's in the word. Life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What did he say in John 14, 6? He said, Jesus made this statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and what else? And the life. That's this Zoe life, this resurrection life. And he said, no man what? Cometh unto me, cometh unto the Father, how? But by him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, when we look at this day and we remember the things, let's look at John real quickly, John 3:16, or 14, actually, John 3:14 through 17. And a familiar scripture verse, but when we look at this, it gives us a picture of what was going to happen regarding his crucifixion. And it said here, and Moses lifted, did what? He lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. This was it. He said, make this bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and everybody that looks at it will be healed. And this is what he said. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So here we can see right here, they were sharing what was about to happen. In verse 15, we're familiar that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So in other words, he's saying, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This life, this eternal life, this resurrection life, glory to God. 1 John 3:8, familiar scripture verse, he said, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man, or the Son of God, was what? Was manifested, and what does it say? That he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil, and they have been destroyed. So if they've been destroyed, then the works of the devil coming against you, you have his authority now in the name of Jesus to speak to his works. They've been destroyed. They've been brought to naught. They cannot, they have no power over you. This is why the devil will put pressure on us and we keep speaking the word, and sometimes we don't see change immediately, but that's a deception. You keep speaking the word. You keep speaking to that disruption in your life. You keep speaking because it's been destroyed. It's been brought to naught. This is what Colossians said. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered. He just wants to keep the pressure turned up so that you give up and you give in and say, well, it's not working. How do you know it's not working? It is working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Galatians 2:20. See, what does it say? I am crucified with Christ. So when he was crucified, I was crucified. This is the word here. I am crucified with Christ. What? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me, and speaking this word life, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and he did what? He gave himself for me. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him. See, we were crucified with him. We were buried with him. Buried with him how? By baptism into death, that like as Christ, who like as Christ? We, like as Christ, were raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we should also walk in newness of life. Same, similar scripture verse, Colossians 2:12 in the King James. It says, buried with him. How? Here's another one. Buried with him, how? In baptism, wherein also ye are risen. Say, I'm risen.
I'm risen,
I'm risen with him. Through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So we were buried with him and we were raised with him. Raised to new life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans 4:25. Again, these are just supporting what we're celebrating. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. Hallelujah. And through the power and through faith in the power of God, we were changed. Glory to God. So here in Romans 4:25, this is showing us that he took our offenses or our sin and he was released and raised from the dead because we were declared righteous. It wasn't his sins. It was our sins. So Romans 4:25 in the King James, it said, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, sometimes in the King James, that's why I like to read different translations. I don't know if we have the New King James Version. Let's put that up. That's a little clearer. Than the Old English, but the New King James Version, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised, what? Because of our justification. See, he was released because the sin was paid for. Our sins were paid for. The Young's literal translation, It says similar. It says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. So when God said, they're righteous, sin has been paid for, that's when Jesus shook off the chains that held him. See, and this is why when in God's mind, when sin was paid for, it was us there that overcame and shook off the death that bound us. Now let's look, I want to look at this to continue this thought. Colossians 2:11 in the Passion Translation. Colossians 2, verse 11 through 14. It says, through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. If something's extinct, what does that mean to you? It doesn't exist. and when they'd say that animal is extinct, that means it doesn't exist anymore. You can't find it. So this is saying here, the power of sin has been cut away and is what? Extinct. So that means sin has no more power over you. So the only thing that Satan can do is deceive you. He has no power because he is sin. So he has no power over you anymore. This is the scripture. This is what the scripture is saying. The power of sin is extinct. And you might get up and go, well, sure don't look like it. He is the God of this world. And its scripture says he blinds the minds of those who are lost, lest they what? Receive the light of the glorious gospel. So his power has been broken over us. It's extinct. Now he'll bring something, a temptation is what he does. He brings a temptation to deceive you. But you can turn around and go, no, your power is broken. You have no power over me anymore. And that's what this is saying. Isn't this good?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. See, let me go read it again. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct. Why? Because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. He destroyed, that's what 1 John 3:8 said. He destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed them. What does that mean? They're extinct. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. That's what we're celebrating today. His resurrection power. It was our release from death. Hallelujah. So this goes on. Our baptism, I'm going to read it again. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power. The power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that what? Realm of death, never to return. We've been resurrected. He was resurrected. We've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forever and forgiven of all of our sins. Hallelujah. We are forever alive.
Yes.
Think about this. 1 Peter 1. We can look it up now. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. I believe it says, being what? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. We're alive forever. Why? Because of the Word. The Word. The Word lives in us. Hallelujah. And His life is in us, which is in the Word. So let's look at verse 14. He canceled out, this is Jesus, He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record. Thank you, Jesus. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all. And they cannot be retrieved. Thank you, Jesus. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. So do not let the devil bring up thoughts of your past which are intended to either make you embarrassed or shamed or whatever. No, he said right here, what did he say? Those sins, he paid for them all. They're forgiven. And what does it say? It says we've been resurrected, never to return. The realm of death. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. He erased it all, our sins. He deleted it all. They cannot be retrieved. Those sins that you were forgiven of cannot be found in him. They can't be found. So don't let thoughts of your past exist. Mm-mm. So the record of our sins and sicknesses against us have been erased, they've been deleted, and they cannot be retrieved. That's why I like, you know, that revelation that God spoke in my spirit, those words, no evidence. If they've been erased and they cannot be retrieved, then there's no evidence. There's no evidence in your life that you did that. There's no evidence of it. And you need to remind him, sorry, no evidence against me. You know, let me ask this question. Some of us, I'm not saying all of you, some of you may have been stopped, let's say, by a policeman. And they may say, well, you know, I caught you speeding. And you say, well, where's the evidence? No evidence. So all I'm saying is that even in the natural, if there's no evidence, then they can't prosecute. Now, in some cases, I know I'm not a lawyer, and there may be circumstantial things that they may be able to bring up against you and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just talking about, you understand my point, just a pure, simple point that if there's no evidence, they can't bring something or charge you for something. No evidence. And so here, what's more important? That when we stand, there are going to be people that stand before him on judgment day, and there's going to be evidence. Amen. Have you received my son? No. Evidence. There's going to be some evidence of sin. So for us, when because we've received Jesus, he has forgiven our sins, and there is no evidence of death. No evidence of death. So that means we've received eternal life, and the sins that were held against us have been forgiven. Glory to God. So he did all of that for us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians 3 verse 1 in the New Living Translation. It says, since you have been raised to new life. And now we're looking at, we've been raised to new life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. It says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So he's saying here, it doesn't mean that we don't think about the activities of life, but don't get so caught up with them that you forget who you are, that you forget that you're seated in a place of authority. And one of the things that the Holy Ghost kept speaking to me this morning as I was just thinking about this, we meditate, we reflect on the resurrection, we reflect that we were crucified with him, we were buried with him, we were raised with him, we're seated with him, and he did all of that to restore authority back to mankind. And he has established his body here in the earth to do what? To reach people. And so we need to never forget what our purpose is, just like Jesus never forgot his purpose. He gave us a purpose, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Let's look as we kind of close here, Romans 5:17. Just reigning in life through Christ, Romans 5:17 in the King James. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Stumble through life? No, it says shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 1, verse 17 through 23. And this begins to show us this great prayer that Paul prayed to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 1, 17, starting at 17, the New Living, it says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light. Why? So that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. See, this was Paul's prayer. He was praying for the church at Ephesus that they would understand what? The incredible greatness of God's power to them who believed. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That's in us.
Yes.
He raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also what? In the world to come. God has put, listen to this, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for himself. No, it says in the scripture, he did that for the benefit of the church. He did that for our benefit. And then verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So God, in Christ, did this for the benefit of the church. And that we need to understand the incredible greatness of the power that's in us. And it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's in us and working in us. That's why we need to come against. That's why when the scripture says the same Spirit, Romans 8, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And if he dwells in me, then he quickens my mortal body. That's why sickness should not stay in this body. Disease should not stay in this body because of the resurrection power that's in me. Hallelujah. And the things that come against me in life cannot stay. They must bow. What does it say here? It says, God has put all things under the authority of who? Christ. And has made him head over all things for our benefit. So don't let life circumstances, which in most cases are initiated by the devil and through people and circumstances, to do what? Discourage us, to get us to be quiet, to talk about the problem instead of speaking to the problem and commanding it to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what was all of this done for, you might say? So what was this authority restored to us for? Well, he gave us a commission, didn't he? The Great Commission, Mark 16, in verse 15 through 18. He said, and he said unto them, go ye into the world. This is before he was taken up into heaven. And preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, that word damned just means judged. And these signs shall follow them that believe in what? My name. This is the authority. The authority has been given to Christ, but he and his name are one. So when I speak the name, that name is above every name in heaven and earth and under the earth. That's what this just got done saying here. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. So when I speak the name, it must respond. That's why when I speak to demons and devils, they've got to respond. They must respond. When you say that's your point of contact, in the name of Jesus, I command this sickness to leave. I command it to change. The authority is in the name. So So verse 17, and these signs shall follow what? Them that believe in the name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall do what? Take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them in the name. See, in the name. They shall lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, and they shall recover. So this isn't the commission of a few. This is the commission of all of us, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And what does he continue in Matthew 18? Verses 18 and 19. This is in the New Living Translation. Matthew 18, starting in verse 18, he says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. So if you don't speak against it, you're permitting it. Verse 19, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among you. Glory to God. So we can see through just going down this timeline, so to speak, we were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. We're seated in heavenly places in a place of authority. But the body is here with a charge and a commission. It says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. Yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And this life that's in me is to be exercised and to be spoken. Hallelujah, because the word is life. And so that's what we've been speaking lately, that the devil is endeavoring to keep the church quiet and to not speak the word of God, because it's the word that has authority, because he's the word. And so when we go through and we walk through our life, we need to do what? The scripture spoken is our script. It's this is what we speak. We speak the word. We speak life. And circumstances must change. They must bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Did they not bow the knee to Jesus during his earth walk? Oh, yes, they did. And we are his body, and they must bow the knee in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are overcomers and conquerors because of this resurrection life, because of this eternal life. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. He's worthy of our praise. You know, sometimes, you know, when we go through circumstances in life, and I just share this, whatever circumstance you're going, it's always good to go back to the one that lives in you and ask, how should I handle this? Instead of listening to the lies and looking at the circumstances and coming up and saying, well, I guess you guess nothing. Why don't you ask him, Lord, what should I do regarding this? Speak the word back to him. Lord, you defeated the devil. It doesn't look like it, but what do you want me to do? in this natural realm. How should I handle this? What should I say to it? I have your life in me. You know, sometimes we look at life, in other words, what the scripture says, we should look at things from a heavenly perspective and not according to what we're experiencing. And even if God says to you, see, because I believe God speaks to all of us, even if he says to you, my child, your race is finished. It's time to come home. That's not a time to moan. That's a time to rejoice. Say, glory to God, I'm going home to heaven. You see. And even in those settings, it's not a time to mourn. It's a time to rejoice. So whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, we should always ask our master, what should I do? What should I do in this circumstance? How should I handle it? And stop meditating on the circumstance and thinking, you know, where's God in all of this? Ask him and get quiet. He'll tell you. He'll show you what to do. He's never, what did he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. He's in us. So just ask. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your life, your eternal life that's in us. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that lives in us and leads us and guides us. And Father, as your word says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge you. And you said you would direct our paths. So, Father, we look to you. We trust you. We don't lean to the circumstances and our understanding, but we acknowledge you in everything we do. And we thank you and decree that you do guide our paths in everything. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise God. Never, ever forget who you are. Never, ever forget to look to the greater one. Never, ever forget to look for guidance in every circumstance. I don't care what it is. And whatever place you hold in the body of Christ. You know, when I ran sound here for years, I didn't lean to my understanding because I didn't have much. I'm just telling you the truth. We all had to start somewhere. But he may call you to do something, and you're going to have to put all of your trust in him. Because if you don't have knowledge of a particular area, he's going to say, read this book, go do this. He may have somebody cross your path. He may prompt you to ask questions. So I don't care what you find yourself in, what arena of life you're in, you cannot get away from trusting the Lord. You cannot lean to your understanding. I'm not saying don't use it. You'll get some measure of success, but you're going to come up short somewhere. You will come up short somewhere if you don't look to him. Amen. That's just the bottom line. Because
right.
How far did you get without him before?
Right.
I can tell you, it was a mess. So the minute we think we can lean to our understanding, let's put in this word, P-R-I-D-E.
Pride.
I can do it. Oh, really? Well, let's see how far you get. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Before we unhook, we're going to receive our offering. But before we do, if there's anybody here, anybody watching, we've talked about this resurrection life that we have, this eternal life that we've received. If a man says with his mouth, confesses the Lord Jesus, and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with our mouth, what does it say? Confession is made unto salvation. So for all of us, eternal life is activated, or the power of God is released through our believing and speaking and confessing Him. So if you're here and you don't ever remember speaking or confessing what you believe, so it's not just believing, it's confessing what you believe that gets us into heaven. You know, I was raised in church, like maybe a lot of you were. I believed that Jesus was the Christ, but I never said it. I never made a profession of faith. So there can be people in church that, oh yeah, I believe that. You know, you could probably, all of us could go out on the street and talk to people and you say, do you believe that Jesus was the Christ? Yeah, sure. It says the devils believe. But they ain't never going to confess them. So it's important for all of us to realize that no matter who we are, that we have to believe and confess what we believe. Not just be in church and come to church. That's good. We fellowship with one another. But you must believe unto righteousness, and with the heart confession is made unto salvation. So as we do that, if you're here today and you don't ever remember doing that, well, then this is the day that you can certainly make that decision, and those online. So let's make this profession of faith if you believe that. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the mediator between God and man. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I now confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. I believe and confess that you raised him from the dead. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me. And I will serve you all the days of my life. Now, if you made that simple profession of faith, then let us know. We have some free information to give you. If you just raise your hand, they'll give that to you. And if you're online or watching online, you just contact us either through email or write us. Just let us know that you accepted Jesus as your Savior today. Or maybe you recommitted your life today. Glory to God. Praise God. God is good. He desires that not one be lost. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody blessed?
Yes.
I am blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the scripture, you know, so often we pray that prayer in 1 Timothy 2. We pray for kings and for all those in authority and so forth. And down there, down in verse 4, I think it is, it says, he would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. So God desires, because of the great sacrifice of Jesus, he bore the sins of all mankind, and he desires that all men be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God.